I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. You just made the list coming up at high noon. Tell us who or what has made you mad. And then at the bottom of that hour at 12:30, Tony Kemp, Oakland A's player, former Vanderbilt Commodore. And we always enjoy our conversations with Tony Kemp, and we will talk to him coming up at 12:30. Been a while since we've talked to our next guest, but it's time to bring in Kyle Tucker from The Athletic. Covers Kentucky and the Titans, which is interesting. I don't think the last time we talked to Kyle that was the case, and I believe a little birdie told me you're living in Nashville now. Is that true?
That's right, yeah. We've had a lot of just family stuff going on where we felt like we needed to get back closer to home. My family's around here, all my parents and siblings and my wife's parents and siblings are all around here with their families, and we've got twin toddlers running wild in our house, and, so we decided to get back closer to home. So yeah, I was planning to do a lot more, and probably still will at some point, Kentucky stuff, but everything about college sports is still in a wait and see kind of paused mode. Who knows the next time we'll interview anybody in person on a college campus. And so right now I was going to be doing a lot of commuting, but right now I'm staying put here in Nashville, and turns out there's an NFL team right around the corner. So staying busy helping Joe Rex Road do some Titans stuff here.
How about that? I remember from our previous conversations, you talked about all your family being from this area. They're from the Clarksville area, is that right?
Yeah, I grew up in Clarksville, Tennessee.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Actually, I have a box of media credentials from the first season of the Titans in Nashville. I worked for my hometown paper there in Clarksville as a college student, and they let me come up. All hands on deck to cover the Titans when they came to Nashville, and write little sidebar stories on the Titans when I was 19, 20 years old. I got two sisters who live in Nashville now, and all my in-laws are here.
Great deal. Good deal. So before we jump into the Titans stuff, I do want to ask you, just because all of our conversations in the past have been you being basically on the Kentucky beat, how do you think this college football, I mean, you've been watching this all play out just like us. One, how do you think the college football season is going to go? Do you think the SEC, they're going to try it. Do you think they will succeed and finish with the 10 games? And how do you think college basketball is going to try to approach this season?
Yeah, Dana O'Neill covers college basketball nationally for us at The Athletic. Had a story up last night that one of her sources has the NCAA looking at late November, early December for starting the college basketball season, and some interesting ideas, maybe flipping conference and non-conference, where you could try to knock out the conference play on the first part of the season, especially if you started at the end of November. There's been a lot of talk about that period of time. You know, even if for the schools that keep students on campus, there is a little window where you have sort of a natural bubble that happens every year when the students go home for Thanksgiving. And so in that little stretch of time, you know, from late November to, you know, middle of January, when there's no classes, can you safely, you know, bubble up or whatever it might be and knock out a bunch of your conference games and get that most important part of it, all, you know, done, so that, you know, if there's some disruption when the students come back, and what you lose maybe is some non-conference games, but you don't lose your conference play. You know, John Calipari talked to us yesterday or the day before. They're all running together now. And he mentioned, you know, he talked about all kinds of things about, you know, just the ideas he seemed to be throwing out there. But I think obviously there's probably been some conversations at some level because he sits on some committees. He talked about weekends, you know, conference weekends where maybe, do you get a handful of teams that are, you know, close to each other, you know, go sequester somewhere together for a long weekend or on one of their campuses for a long weekend and you knock out, you know, two or three, whatever, conference games. So I think they're going to be creative. I think the super encouraging thing if you're talking about college basketball is I think they have been way out in front compared to football. They've been forward thinking. They've been trying to consider, you know, options. I think they know they cannot afford to not play the NCAA tournament for a second straight year. It's hundreds of millions of dollars. And so if that means doing these weird things to get some semblance of a regular season played out and then going to some version of a bubble to play the NCAA tournament, and does it mean it's reduced to 32 teams for a year? I don't know. But I think college basketball gets played. And I think college football gets off the ground. Does it get finished? I don't know. Now, Bruce Feldman, who covers college football nationally for us, just tweeted out a couple of minutes ago that he is hearing that Big Ten coaches are on a conference call right now and that it is a, quote, real possibility the Big Ten may reverse course and play later in the fall. They're talking about picking up their season maybe in Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving. And that, again, that sounds to me like trying to squeeze in a season in that bubble, in that sort of natural bubble where the students go home and nobody's on campus for a couple months. That would be weird if the rest of these leagues actually get their season played, because you would be essentially halfway through your Big Ten season while everyone else is preparing to start the college football playoff. So that it may exclude you from that. But, you know, I say all these words to say, and that last part of it tells you this is changing every minute, every day.
Yep.
And to try to call it like final call, this is what's going to happen today, is insane.
The Big Ten really looks like just an absolute hot mess through all this. They look pretty pathetic with the, just, you know, you can't, it's hard to keep up. It's, you get tired just trying to keep up with the news of the Big Ten. They can't make up their damn mind what they're doing from day to day.
Yeah, you know, I would say one of the things this is, I mean, this is sports, this is life, business, the world, the country. I think the stress and the chaos of the last several months has underscored a fundamental leadership and communication breakdown. That it matters who's leading you and if they're actually a leader. It matters whether or not you have a centralized leadership. It matters whether you have protocols and channels. I mean, there were these reports coming out that the Big Ten, presidents and chancellors met and that they talked to their athletic directors, but the chancellors and athletic directors never talked together in the same room or the same Zoom, that they were never all in the same place at the same time talking about it. I mean, how is that possible? How does that happen? This has underscored that leadership is critical, and there's a lot of organizations that maybe don't have the leaders that they need right now.
We're talking to Kyle Tucker from The Athletic, and I'm sure we'll get more into that Big Ten story a little later in the hour. Kyle, one of the things that jumped out to me, you wrote a great article. For all the Titans fans out there, this is what I would recommend that you read, on Logan Woodside, who really we've been talking about in some form or fashion all summer. Is he going to be the backup? Now, of course, they bring in Trevor Siemian to compete with him, but it's kind of par for the course for him. He's had so many challenges being told you're not quite good enough. I love some of the stuff that came out in your article. Really, really well done. Let me hit you with one off the bat, because I think this is a great story. He had been cut by the Bengals out of college. He had been drafted in the AAF, which lasted just a few weeks. People probably have even forgot about it by now. But he was in between, and he was working, what, at L.A. Fitness? He was working at a workout center at some point?
Yeah, draft pick, cut in preseason, in between jobs, and he stays in Cincinnati there, which is only about an hour from where he grew up in Kentucky, and worked selling. He said allegedly selling memberships at the LA Fitness, but mostly just kind of trying to lay low, not be recognized. It was a very low moment for him. And I thought that was interesting because so much of his story from high school on through college is that of a grinder. But then he gets drafted and he leaves Toledo as their all-time leading passer, put up crazy numbers there. I think he finally let himself believe he kind of arrived. And, his high school coach told me about how he, came back to town talking about what he was going to buy with his NFL money. As a seventh-round draft pick, the third quarterback on the roster, maybe deluded himself a little bit there. But that laid him low, and working a desk job at LA Fitness kind of laid him low, and it refocused him, and it got him back to what he's always kind of done, and that was the other great line from his high school coach, that he's like a bad rash. He just won't go away. I mean, it would seem, I haven't been covering much NFL, but it would seem relatively unusual that a guy in his circumstance, who at this point, drafted in 2017, at this point does not have a single NFL snap in his in a regular season game, to his credit, is now his third September, going into his third September with the Tennessee Titans. They just keep bringing him back. Brought him back after he didn't make the roster last year, got on injured reserve on the practice squad. He did have a nice preseason for them, but there's obviously something he's showing them, I think, in the daily work and the grind of it, that really impresses them, that they keep giving them these opportunities.
No question. That's what I think we're all intrigued about, and this gives some insight as to how he's been able to do that. This is another thing I think it's a great lesson for in life, really, for anybody, but especially for athletes. He kind of talked about how he didn't really realize, you alluded to it, he kind of thought, hey, I got it made. I got drafted in the NFL. I'm on the Bengals. This is going to be great. And he didn't understand what it was going to take to make it and stick, and he was going to have to outwork and go to the extra mile to make it there. And it seems like he took that second opportunity and has made the most of it, at least to this point, at least to get as far as he has.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who stayed in the building, stayed around the team, stayed in the meeting, stayed in the playbook, even when he was injured and rehabbing last year. Stayed in Nashville the entire offseason. I think Ryan Tannehill on that story talks about how impressed he was by just watching him grind, watching him do the work. And he said, I love to play with guys who love the work. There are guys, I covered not Michael Vick, but Marcus, his brother Marcus Vick, at Virginia Tech. And when you hear Michael talk about, and it was true of his brother too, just totally wasted his talent. He got in a bunch of trouble and had a lot of issues. Michael, not setting aside the dogfighting thing, when Michael, in his second act, talked a lot about how just a transcendent athletic wonder. I mean, he could do things just rolling out of bed that very few humans ever could do. But he would talk in his second act about sort of the regret of early in his NFL career not doing all the stuff that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and those guys do, all the work off the field, all the details, all the little things that would have allowed him to maximize what were, otherworldly gifts. And he started to, he was able to Michael Vick was able to come back and have another act despite going to prison for two seasons, and be a pretty good player, even though he was by then physically diminished a little bit, because he started to do some of those things. And I think he felt the regret of that. And that is just true across the board, especially, I would say, when you're talking about the quarterback position. There's a million guys out there who can stand back there and sling it. How many Heisman Trophy winning or Heisman finalist quarterbacks who looked like they were the second coming as college players because they had an immense talent got to the NFL and never really even had a moment? And I think some of that is what you do, off the field.
We're talking to Kyle Tucker of The Athletic, has covered Kentucky for a long time, but now here in Nashville covering the Tennessee Titans as well. And I know that, in talking about Logan Woodside a little further, that he had a career at Toledo where he kept being told he wasn't going to be the guy. He wasn't going to be the starter, and that now we've seen, you know, that he's here and he's sticking around, that fight that I guess he learned there has carried over to the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, twice he was supposed to be the guy, and twice they brought in a transfer from Alabama and consecutive preseasons. He got beat out by that guy. The first one, he gets beat out, and only last two games, that guy tears his ACL. Logan comes in and plays great. He figures, well, this is my job now. He gets beat out again the next camp and decides to redshirt and go run the scout team to try to help the team that way. I mean, yeah, he's not going to just scrap and claw and all of a sudden be the Titans starting quarterback, but I think, you know, they need a backup. They need somebody who they can count on to be the number two. I thought it was, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to write it about him. I, you know, started this process of writing this story before they released Cole, was, you know, it was very clear going into camp. They thought he was, you know, he was their number two. Their clear number two going into camp is a guy with zero NFL snaps. And I thought that was super interesting. Obviously, they make a move and they bring in Trevor Siemian. I think then the assumption becomes you bring in the guy that started 25 games in the NFL. He's your number two. I don't know that Logan has sort of given way to that. If I were judging it based on just the limited amount that I've seen those two guys, and Trevor's still learning the offense, very much so. Yeah, I would say Logan looks way more comfortable and competent. And so he's kind of in that spot. He's not fighting for the starting job, but I think he's very much in a fight for the number two job. And it's that same deal. They bring in another guy. You know, they draft a guy. They cut him. But they bring in a guy who started in the NFL to try to take your job again. You know, how are you going to handle it? And the Titans quarterback coach says, you know, Pat O'Hara says, you know, that didn't faze him at all, and we didn't expect it to, because everything we throw at him, he just kind of seems unfazed by it.
The Titans announced this week they have signed some familiar faces. Linebacker Will Compton, of course, really known around here. He spent a year with the Titans, but does the podcast Bussin' with the Boys with Taylor Lewan, and then Jeremy McNichols, who was in training camp with them last year. Do you look at these moves as, because they don't have a preseason, these guys know the system for the most part? Things are going to change a little bit, but they're familiar, and that's why it made sense to bring them back just in case, because they're trying to load up with some extra numbers in case they're positive tests and so on and so forth as they move forward?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting because the expanded, like, practice squads now, where you can keep more guys and more veteran guys, allows you to maybe stash some players that you may need to be emergency guys. You know, I definitely think in McNichols' case, it's just that they, you know, much like quarterback, after your star and then after your draft pick, who Darnton Evans, who's missed a bunch of time, several practices now, you know, after those two guys, there hasn't been much that really popped in what I've seen from those other running back options. And I think they just need some more options there. You know, in the other case, you want a guy you know you can count on in special teams, and then a guy that if all things, you know, fall apart, if they're positive tests or their injuries or whatever, and they talked about this, some of the coaching staff, we Zoomed with a bunch of them the other day, there's a comfort level that he can go in and play linebacker if he needs to. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons why you would sign those guys, but, you know, I definitely think there's going to be a planning element that comes to this season that's sort of unprecedented as you go, you know, how do we create a safety net in some of these maybe worst-case scenarios with the virus or whatnot?
Kyle Tucker with The Athletic. Hey, Kyle, we appreciate it. It's good to talk to you again, and we look forward to many more conversations now that you're here in Nashville.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Covers the Titans for The Athletic alongside Joe Rexroad and also longtime Kentucky writer. We'll have more coming here on Darren Donick and Chase on the ninth birthday of 102.5 The Game, ESPN 102.5 The Game, I should say. We'll be back.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you got to do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're going to give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.